You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The Arctic is warming faster than any other part of the planet. And as the permafrost there thaws and the tundra burns, it is releasing powerful greenhouse gases that further accelerate warming. Since the permafrost holds three times as much carbon as all the world's forests combined, what's happening in the Arctic is one of the most important aspects of climate change. It's also one of the least understood. For more than a decade, scientists from Woods Hole Research Center have been bringing college students to the remote Arctic to not only learn about how it is changing, but to actively participate in climate research. The experience has changed many students' careers and lives, and many of those students have changed the course of research by introducing original questions and making unexpected discoveries. That's the story of a new book called The Big Thaw: Ancient Carbon, Modern Science, and a Race to Save the World. It features the photography of Chris Linder, and he joins me now. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Heather.
Chris, the photo on the front of the book looks essentially like bubbles coming up through water. You could imagine you're, you know, at a microscopic scale looking up through a glass of soda or something like that. What is the significance of those bubbles? Why are they front and center in this book about Arctic change?
Yeah, so the bubbles on the cover of the Big Thaw book are methane bubbles. And methane is one of the key players in this story, as this carbon that has been locked away, kind of stored in the permafrost freezer for tens of thousands of years since the last ice age. As that soil is now warming and thawing, that carbon becomes available again to microbes. Essentially, it's like taking a steak out of the freezer and eating it. And the process as the microbes eat this ancient carbon is that they respire CO2 and methane. And so as a photographer, this has been one of the most challenging projects that I've ever photographed, in that these are not really photogenic subjects. We're talking about frozen soil and invisible gases. So my challenge was to try to communicate what these look like to someone who's never seen them before. And frankly, most of the world is never going to touch, smell, see, hold permafrost, or see these gases coming out of Arctic lakes. So I had to figure out a way to communicate that in a way that was both beautiful, so that people would engage with the picture and kind of ask questions and want to know more about what's happening.
You have photos in there not only of methane bubbles coming up through lakes, but also trees falling over when the ground beneath them has thawed or melted and literally collapsed. You've got pictures of the layers of the ground with big wedges of ice through them. And then you've got some pictures that almost, they introduce you to the Arctic, but they're almost deceptive, in that you've got these pictures, one in particular of a large field, you know, the tundra, and it kind of looks all the same. And yet you say, when you get up close with it, what that sameness is hiding is a huge diversity of life. I mean, like you said, this is an immense challenge to try to bring people to this place that they will never be and actually try to understand it and portray that accurately.
Yeah, details are really key. And another thing that I love to do with photography, particularly with projects, big projects like this, is to break down stereotypes. So often when I tell people I'm going to Siberia in July, they say, oh, you're going to freeze, and won't you, you know, be scared of polar bears and all of these things that really are not even possible for where we're going to be, because in fact, it can be extraordinarily hot if the wind blows from the south. And one of the biggest challenges can be overheating when you're garbed up in, you know, head to toe in protective gear to keep the mosquitoes off of you. And, you know, it's 95 degrees and you're just sweating inside the suit with a head net on. So I like to break down stereotypes with my photography. And one of the ways to do that is to photograph all the details that tell the story of the place, that form a collective picture of what this place is like. And a lot of times I'm on my hands and knees in the mud, in the dirt, looking at the really small parts of the landscape that you could just walk right by, but that when you focus on, you see this incredible variety. And it, you know, when you're near a lake, for instance, in Siberia, on the edges of it, there's this beautiful sphagnum moss that goes all the way around the edges of the lake. The tundra is a totally different environment. You have these beautiful flowers that are only inches high. And if you're looking at them from a distance, all you see is kind of these muted colors and rolling hills. But when you get on your hands and knees, these tiny Arctic flowers that bloom for this short period of time in the summer are just this spectacular variety.
But Chris Linder, this story is only partly about the place of the Arctic and how it is changing. It's also about the people, those who live there, and the scientists who are going there to study and track those changes. And you actually write in the acknowledgments of the book that the most important thing about science is the scientists themselves. What makes you say that?
One of the unique aspects of the Polaris Project that I photographed for the Big Thaw book is that it's an education project and a science project. And the education aspect involves taking a dozen or so undergraduates up to the Siberian or Alaskan Arctic and cutting them loose on the tundra for a month to develop their own research. And for me as a photographer, it was fascinating to interact with the students, to photograph them and interview them. A lot of them had never been out of the country before, and it was their first time traveling abroad when they were in Siberia. This was obviously a life-changing experience for them in that aspect, but also a lot of them, it was the first time they'd ever done real field work and had to formulate a question on their own. And so it was an opportunity for me to see what it was like for a student who had read about science, had learned about science in the classroom, to actually experience what it was like to do science. And this, to me, kind of gets to the heart of what science really is. It's about asking questions and finding answers, you know, in whatever creative way you can come up with to solve that. And it's this creative aspect that, to me, is one of the most fun things about science that is totally gets glossed over by the typical stereotype of science as being very, you know, stodgy and has nothing to do with creativity and is, you know, this whole right brain, left brain, you know, stereotype that's created around science and scientists. But from what I've observed being in the field with scientists is that it's one of the most creative professions that I've ever encountered. Scientists have to be extraordinarily creative when they're having to solve problems in the field.
And one of the themes that comes up in the book over and over is the nature of the interactions between the more senior researchers and these college students who are out there, as you said, for the first time, not only seeing the Arctic for the first time, but formulating questions and experiments for themselves for the first time. And they're coming up with questions that the senior scientists are saying, I would never have noticed that. I would never have thought to ask that. I would have assumed the answer was such and such and therefore not pursued the question. You know, these students are making major contributions to the research that their mentors are really appreciating.
Yeah, it's exciting to see this, you know, thinking outside of the box in every way when they get to the field. And the excitement, too, that they bring to the field is palpable and kind of brings everybody up, all of us. And it's difficult being away from home and, you know, in a new environment for a month, you know, eating different foods, spending long hours in the field. But everybody works together when you're out there in the field. And I think that the experience is just something I wish everybody could experience at least once in their lives, even non-scientists. But and part of my job as a photographer is to convey that so that people have a better appreciation of how science is done and that it's, you know, the passion of the people that are doing it. Unfortunately, I feel like lately, you know, in the last decade or two decades, people have lost trust or faith or, you know, in science and scientific reasoning and results that are communicated. But if people went in the field and for a couple of days even with the scientists that I know, I think that they would change their minds. You have to know these people. You have to go in the field with them to appreciate just how passionate they are about the work that they're doing and how important they know that it is too. And the pressure that's placed on them to find these answers.
that pressure and, for that matter, the knowledge, the answers that they actually gain can come potentially with its own emotional toll. I mean, climate change is major stakes, and what they're finding tends to be worse and worse news, not good news, especially for these younger researchers. And I know you not only photographed them, you interviewed each of them. Were they feeling that kind of emotional toll of the knowledge that they were gaining about climate change?
Almost universally, the younger students did not seem affected by the kind of climate change malaise or the, you know, any kind of depression or overwhelming feeling of dread. It was more about, you know, what I got from them was, you know, this is my chance to make a new understanding of this. It's my chance to make a difference. It's my future. And I really think that this is a really key aspect of why this project has been so successful. It's taking this problem that is only going to become more and more of a challenge for the next generation and letting the next generation really take the reins and say, you know, we're driving this now. We are going to drive change. We are going to drive solutions. We are going to drive understanding. And that's really exciting.
That's Chris Linder. His photography is featured in a new book called The Big Thaw: Ancient Carbon, Modern Science, and a Race to Save the World. Chris, thank you.
Thanks very much, Heather.